The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Tone, one half of the best black movie review podcast in the world. In the world, Craig. This episode of the Blackbusters podcast is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Prime is more than just free shipping. Prime brings you closer to the things you care about today through shopping, streaming, and savings. For example, did you know that you can listen to your favorite podcasts, like ours, through Amazon Music? Yep. You can also watch your favorite movies, like the ones we review on Blackbusters, on Amazon Prime Video. Yep. But it doesn't stop there. You can use Prime to get more out of your interests. From purchasing behind-the-scenes books about your favorite movies, to listening to soundtracks of your favorite films. Yep, yep, and yep. Whatever you're into, or just getting into, Prime can help you get closer to it. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to sign up. From movies and music to passions and podcasts, it's on Prime.
Blackbusters.
I'm laughing already, man. What's cracking with the family? It's your boy, Big Ja. And I didn't say it last time. It's my first time not saying it. Hey, and welcome to Blackbusters, the best movie review podcast in the world.
In the world, Craig.
In the world, Craig.
In the world, Craig.
I'm your host, Big Ja. And we've been laughing even before the camera came on. That's why we got the giggles. And I'm your host, Big Ja, along with my co-host.
Welcome home, Big Tone. Welcome home, Big Tone.
Yes. Yeah. Welcome home, Big Tone.
Yeah.
Dang. Clever. I love that one, bro. Thank you, sir. I love most of them. It's not all of them.
Some of them hit miss.
You mostly hit.
Yeah.
You mostly hit. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Welcome home, Big Tone.
Uh-huh.
That's fire.
Thank you, bro.
Yes, indeed. All right, man. That's dope. This is about to be fun, man. I'm here with a very special person, man. A guy that when it's all said and done and I'm telling my story about my life or someone else's, he got to be in it. He's part of it. You know what I'm saying? And it's, come on, bro. You know what I'm saying? This is my brother, Clayton Thomas.
Yes, how are
you, man? What's
cracking, yes, sir. Man?
Folks, I don't think that folks know what they will know eventually when I start, you know, talking about more personal things, man. Mm-hmm. And you'll be involved in that, in those conversations. Mm-hmm. Clayton Thomas, man, thank you for blessing us again. Yeah. Man. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll never reveal the full top five, but one of the top five guests on the podcast.
What?
Man. For me.
Oh, easy.
That's for me. Big. You know easy what I mean?
Call.
Like, one of, like, the last time, you make sure you go check out the Nutty Professor conversation.
Ooh. Yes.
That was one of my favorite episodes.
That was great.
And you know, I'll never pull the full five, but no, yeah, but you got a spot.
You're in there. And
you're on your way.
You're on your way.
You're on your way. Yes.
Next Lenny Bruce.
Lenny Bruce.
You're on your way.
Lenny, you're on your way.
You're on your way.
I said it on stage the other day, just as a reference to somebody, and the dude was like, I don't care. I was like, oh my God, man. You on your way.
You on your way.
Nick Lenny Bruce.
You Nick Lenny Bruce.
Man, Amazing Grace, bro. Thank you for being here, bro.
Man, thank you for having
again,
me, man.
And this movie particularly, here's the thing. And we were going to do this solo. Mm-hmm. And because but I was like, man, at the last minute, you live 4 minutes from me.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So and here's the thing. We got to fix that. I know we gotta get into the situation, but I'll fix that because you live down the street from me and we don't see enough of each other.
You know what's funny? and this is on everything. I saw more of you when you lived an hour away.
In LA. Mm-hmm. Man.
Hey, John, you want to come up
to me? He lived down the street from me.
Down the street.
Here's the thing. I'm going to fix that. Watch that. Watch this. But real quick, I know we got to get into it. We got stuff to do today. You got stuff to do today. So thank you for coming here last minute, pause, and blessing me with this, because I need to do this. We are doing with you, Roscoe Jenkins. Yes. Welcome home, Roscoe Jenkins. Yes. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. When I think of this movie, I think of you. Bro, I think of you being in it. Mm. I think of me being in it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If they was to recast this, we don't do the recast questions anymore, because that would take a long time.
Yeah.
That was one of the questions we do every episode. It's like, how would you recast this? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know if we have time to do the recast, because I want to really think about it and really put it down.
Yeah.
Off top, this can be us.
Yes.
Off top, you can for sure be Roscoe Jenkins.
Man.
And I'll be Otis.
It. Man, you'll be amazing Otis. Yes, indeed.
Perfect. For sure. Perfect. You know what I'm saying? And so.
But to interrupt you, you would be a way better Otis than the actor, obviously. Mm-hmm. But because you're going to bring so many more layers that I know he couldn't have brought.
Yeah.
But, okay, real quick.
Yeah.
He killed the role.
He killed it.
Yeah. He murdered the role.
He killed it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
He looked great. Yeah. He looked like somebody's older brother.
Yes.
That stayed at home.
Yes. You know that stayed at the crib.
Yeah.
And them big ass kids.
Yes. Man. My kids are probably going to be that big, too. You know what I'm saying?
But every scene, he was always cooking.
Yeah,
he was always cooking.
He was either on the grill.
Or buying the meat.
Or buying the meat, or frying the fish.
And you know what? We're going to get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
They ruined that whole pan of fish.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Bro, I know. We'll get to it. Roscoe Jenkins. Welcome home, Roscoe Jenkins. Written and directed by Malcolm D. Lee.
Mm-hmm.
You murdered that, brother.
Mm.
You made... I'm gonna give my fist at the end.
Yeah.
Right. But Malcolm D. Lee, you did your thing with Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins, starring Martin Lawrence.
Come on, man.
Legendary.
James Earl Jones.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Cedric the Entertainer.
Yes.
Joy Bryant, mm-hmm. Nicole Ari Parker, mm-hmm. Mike Epps.
Yes.
Monique.
Oh,
come on, man. Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah.
Shug Avery.
Yeah, Shug
Can't
Avery.
Can't forget about Shug.
Yes.
Can't forget about Shug.
Man. Louis C.K.
Yeah. With the cameo.
Yeah, with the cameo.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
With the cameo. This is just a feel-good, feel-good movie, bruh. Martin, I wish. Here's the thing. And this was a different Martin. This is not Martin Payne,
no.
Martin.
Yeah.
This is Roscoe Jenkins Martin, which is a different, older, more subdued, but still gave us Martin.
Yeah.
I wonder if he can still do this.
You wonder. It's all that. Here's the thing. Before Roscoe Jenkins, you would have had to ask, I wonder, can Martin still go? Mm-hmm. Because we were so now used to just big box office, Bad Boys 2 Martin, and National Security, which is slept on. But you see that Martin, and you're like, all right, cool. He's co-working with other people. Mm-hmm. But when you see Roscoe Jenkins, it reminds you, oh, he's one of the greatest all time, for real.
Come on.
Yeah.
I forgot about this for a second. So to see that Martin, I know he can. And to think about the movie, it had to have been the director that brought it out of him.
Yes.
Had to be.
That's what it is. Because, you know, I haven't been around Martin. I've seen him from a distance.
Yeah.
You've been around him.
Yeah.
And I see Cedric as he's gotten older. Keep that young. Keep that Cedric, that SETI.
Yeah.
That, you know what I'm saying? He's still SETI. He's still Cedric the Entertainer of old, even though he's older. And Martin, every time I see his interviews, he's very cool, calm, collected, soft-spoken, and everything. So, of course, he is who I pattern my initial love for comedy.
Yeah.
My influence. He's one of my first influences. Eddie, of course, but Martin was when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Martin was, I understood, I'm going to school reciting his jokes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Reciting his stuff on Def Jam, on his specials, on his TV show. And to see him do this, it's like he was older. He was older than I am, what I am now.
Mm-hmm.
He was in his 40s.
Yeah, yeah.
And he still got it, bro.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tell me I'm wrong. But like, this movie's underrated.
Oh
right?
my God.
right?
Yes.
Like
yes.
Criminally underrated.
Yes.
Like, I hadn't seen Roscoe Jenkins in a while
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
on the rewatch. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why don't I fucking watch this every weekend?
Yeah, man.
It was so good.
Yes.
It was, I think it's criminally underrated.
It is.
People talk about and praise other films mm-hmm. of this type.
Of this type.
And put weaker films,
mm-hmm.
yeah. not as good films, on a higher pedestal mm-hmm. than Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins.
Very true.
Yeah. I think we're missing a gem here
yes.
that needs to be in heavy rotation
mm-hmm.
much more frequently and talked about more frequently than what we do.
Because mm-hmm. I feel like this movie became victim of, I don't remember what other movies came out that year, but I feel like, huh?
It's a lot. 2008, yeah.
So it was like there was so many movies that came out that kind of overshadowed it because this was still a just rated R comedy.
Right.
As opposed to a big pushed and promoted mm-hmm. movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this movie had all the stars and all the legends in it, and they delivered. But to your point about Martin off camera is the coolest guy on the planet. Mm-hmm. Like, he's very... Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Like, he's that.
Mm-hmm.
When that camera turns on, there's a different side of Martin. The Martin that I believe in this project, right?
Yes.
And I'm behind this 100%. And there's the, all right, man, just what are we doing, right?
Right.
So Roscoe Jenkins was the project that he believed in, and you can mm-hmm. see the energy behind it.
Right.
Compare it to if it's like, all right, man, I like it, but I don't like what this director is saying. It's different than the vision that I thought. So Martin is so much of an artist.
Mm-hmm.
I was so inspired by watching Roscoe Jenkins because it was like, my hero mm-hmm. is here to stay, bro.
Yeah. Yes. Man, I think he has one. I know he has. This is one of them ones. This is one yeah. of those classic films. And I think it was casted well.
Yeah.
Monique being Big Sis.
Yes.
Woo! Michael Clark Duncan being Big Bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. If you told me on paper before this, I was like, Michael Clark Duncan? Of course, Big Brother.
Yeah. yeah.
Big Country Brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big Swole. Yes, he is an Alabama savage. right. Mm-hmm. But it's Martin. It's Monique. It's Mike Epps.
Listen.
Right.
It's Cedric.
Listen.
Can he keep up?
Right.
Can he... Because here's the thing, I'll say this real quick. You can be a good actor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Being a good actor means you have to be able to go different speeds,
mm-hmm.
different paces, mm-hmm. bring it, be, if you're the, Martin isn't the funny man in most of those scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's the straight man.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the slapstick dude.
This cast.
You gotta be the funny in this scene with Martin. I feel like he brought it.
This yeah. cast is Captain America with the sparkler circles on
mm-hmm.
your left,
mm-hmm.
and everybody shows up.
Yeah,
this is a super team.
Yes.
Because a lot of these people in this movie, we know Martin is a little bit more mature,
mm-hmm.
but everybody else is kind of like at the height of their powers.
Mm.
Like they've all got their fastball. You like Mike Epps? This is perfect, Mike
Ooh,
Epps.
In the pocket. This is
in the yes. pocket, Mike yeah, Epps. Yes. If you like Monique,
oh my God.
This is
they
the
let
Monique.
Her go. They let yeah. her go too.
They let her work,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So like you got Monique working,
mm-hmm.
being the like almost the best version of Monique.
Yes.
At the same time
oh
that
God.
Epps is doing everything that he needs to do, at the same time that Martin is doing what he needs to do. This is why I'm getting goosebumps, man.
Man.
Because yeah. everybody is really good, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Even like Nicole Ari Parker,
mm-hmm. yes.
who normally plays a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she normally plays like
great a, point.
Yeah.
But even she high gets strung, to play, yeah, yeah, high strung, uppity, high maintenance. She plays a great
girl.
Down home.
The girl that got
girl.
Away.
Yeah.
Prom queen yeah. in Arkansas.
She
Tennessee.
Wins.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as she plays that part well, Joy plays Brian. A really good.
Do you want to hear who stole the show?
Yeah.
Joy Bryan.
My wife was like, I don't like her. She's mm-hmm. just not like her face.
That's how like, you know she did well.
I said because she's ruining this role.
Yeah.
When I say ruined, I mean like she's beating it down
yeah.
in a great way.
Yeah.
Like, she played a very, because I remember her from Antoine Fisher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The wholesome, sweet Navy girl that helped him find his family.
Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yes, indeed. Uh-huh. Even then, my wife was like, she was still kind of uppity. And no, she was not. Nothing to Get Rich.
Yeah.
You're forgetting. Go back and watch that movie.
Yeah.
Because the woman that we're looking at now would not ever look at 50 Cent, mm-hmm. Calvin Jackson.
Right.
Or Curtis
right.
Jackson.
Yeah.
This woman, she played a great, like, endearing. I can see how you can fall for her. Mm. She's helping you get better. She's making you eat right. She's making you exercise and woosah.
She's the Hollywood girlfriend for his Hollywood life.
Yeah. Exactly.
Roscoe Jenkins, also shout out to Afion because he was in that.
Yeah, but, shout out to Afion for sure.
When you see Roscoe, I'm sorry, RJ.
RJ.
When you see RJ.
Mm-hmm. RJ Stevens?
RJ Stevens needs this girlfriend because now she's making him, his levels get even higher. Mm-hmm. You couldn't have had the girlfriend that you had back home in this Hollywood life because she wouldn't have, made sense.
Yes. No, not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all. She was a great, arm candy wife, fiance for RJ Stevens.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
with the dog too? Come on, man.
Yeah.
And it made sense. That's why I was like, this is superior writing.
Yeah.
She wins Survivor and she maintains that Survivor energy throughout the entire film.
Right.
Just the competitiveness.
Yes.
It's the way, you know how Survivor is the alliances.
Mm-hmm.
She's peeping alliances and all of this different type of stuff. It just was so well done. It just was just well done.
It didn't seem like he made a bad choice. She really liked him. She really cared about him, I think. Mm-hmm. But when the competition brought her back into that who she was on that show, even with the young boy, Roscoe's son, and even with him running into the prom queen, she was jealous.
Yeah.
She couldn't hide it. She was super jealous. So Roscoe Stevens, RJ Stevens.
RJ Stevens.
Roscoe Jenkins Jr. is Martin Lawrence, and he plays the son of this down-home, country, strong father who he don't take no mess, right?
But look, when you look at Roscoe Jenkins, the character of RJ Stevens is built up, and this goes so much deeper into us being men and black men who were raised by these older black men who did not give us the attention and love we felt we deserved.
Right.
He felt he was overlooked his entire life by his cousin, which I know you'll get to, but that's what made him create this character to be like, all right, well, I don't need that. All I need is me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what goes with the survivor girlfriend and his winning lifestyle is because my father didn't love me enough.
Real quick. Perfect.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something. I don't know if you guys seen this quick interview clip of Deion Sanders recently talked about who he was as primetime, as an athlete in college and in high school and in pros. He said, my mom didn't go to one of my games.
What?
Mm-hmm. And his father was off in the wind. He said, my mom didn't go to any of my high school games. And so I purposely to build up a wall. Mm-hmm. I purposely didn't care about that. I said, well, that's just me here. I had no one cheering for me in the stands.
Yeah.
So I cheered for myself.
Yep.
And I gave myself prime time. I gave myself all the accolades. And even before I achieved them. But when I gave myself all these accolades and how great I was, I had to live up to that. Mm-hmm. And that's what you see in front of you is a man that cheered for himself his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the team me.
Mm-hmm.
And Deion Sanders comes off as a very egotistical, very arrogant,
and
self-centered. But then you see him with his family, and you see people talk about him as a teammate. They're like, he's the opposite of that. But that's what he had to do to make himself feel like, okay, I belong here, I believe in myself, because no one else did.
Yeah.
RJ Stevens is a reflection of his absence, or the fact of feeling absent in the world where he's from.
Yeah.
So he hasn't came back. He hasn't been back to his house in 10 years.
10 years.
And why would he go?
Yeah.
Why would he
just
go?
Just to be overlooked?
Just
I'm
to be overlooked.
RJ Stevens here in Hollywood. I'm in LA. I got the best looking chick in the city.
TV show doing numbers.
Yeah.
I come home. My dad's telling me, your little TV show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I come back and I'm not even, my cousin is replacing me as his son.
You ain't even hung up my TV.
The TV that I bought, brand new flat screen.
I think because Roscoe, he creates the me philosophy because playing by your rules, Dad, is not getting me anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Being honorable like you, Dad, isn't working out for me. Right? Like, doing the right thing, making the right call, I'm getting my ass beat. But when you play the game like Clyde, when you bend the rules, cheat, win, when you have no honor, that's what gets rewarded in this house.
Right.
So I can't be here. Right. Or I need to learn how to be slimy and swarmy, which he never was.
Right? He never was.
He never was.
He never was that.
You know, so I thought it was a really good arc. I like the way he softens.
Yeah.
How, like, mm-hmm. he literally, you kind of watch him melt as a character, yeah. right? The interactions with his brother, the interaction with his mom, and he comes home, and it's believable.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's predictable, but it's believable the way he slowly, you know, kind of turns and embraces home.
You know what we don't talk about is, and this is not, I'm not just hyping up Martin, but what I'm saying this to say that we don't give him, we always talk about Eddie, we talk about Jamie. Martin is an amazing actor.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Talk about the fact that Roscoe yeah. Jenkins, RJ Stevens, is this big Hollywood guy, but goes home and is nothing outside of all these movies. Martin Lawrence is a multimillionaire. You get what Facts. I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Facts. To be able to tap into, all right, who is this guy? What is he feeling? And bam, that kind of level of commitment. And then, like you said, he's the straight man for a lot of this movie. But then in the scenes where he has to turn this up, the comedy comes right back in. Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
Dude, the level of, shout out to Malcolm D. Lee again, man.
Lee. And man. I feel like Malcolm D. Lee was sitting here on set mm-hmm. like this. Action.
Yeah.
The lip bite. Yeah.
The quiver.
The quiver.
The quiver. Yeah.
I got him.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, bro. I promise you. I know the feeling when you're sitting here as a director and you see, I know you, when you get people to come do a sketch for yeah. you mm-hmm. and you say, man, I wonder if she's available. Mm. I wonder if he's available. Let mm-hmm. me see if I can call them up, see if they come and do the sketch with me. And then you see the sketch and you're like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I knew this was going to come together the way I thought.
Yeah.
I just had to get the right people.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm D. Lee was like, man, I got Monique. I got Cedric, Monique, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
In the same film,
yeah,
playing relatives,
yeah,
and let's see how we know how it is with your sisters,
right.
and your brothers, and how you interact with them. It was I literally felt like all three of them were related.
Yeah,
yeah, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Even I felt like not just playing off of Martin, but I felt that Otis and Monique were brother and sister.
100%
felt real. Yeah,
the scene where she was at the podium crying and talking mm-hmm. about her three ex husbands.
Yeah, yeah,
and she was saying all kind of indecent things. Yeah. And he got up there and she mushed him.
Yeah,
like she like stop talking, leave me alone.
And he took it.
He mm-hmm. walked over there. He was like.
Yep.
He was like, hey, thank y'all for, thank mm-hmm. y'all for, round of applause for Betty. And he wanted to strangle her.
Yeah.
But he's big bro. He wanted to, you know how you got your little sister and little brother. Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest, so I don't have no little brothers or sisters.
Yeah.
But I was the kid.
Yeah.
I was the little brother that you yeah. wanted to strangle.
Yeah.
At one point in time, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw that. I believed him. I believed his comedic relief
yeah.
was dope.
He was great.
And you would think, like, what other comedies has he done? I don't think he's done much.
No, he was in, first of all, non-speaking,
mm-hmm.
Friday. That was his yeah, first
was.
Big
yep. He
joint.
Was. Shooting yep. dice.
You know what I mean? Yep.
Yes.
And then everything. He was a big TV show guy. So I believe yes. I believe he'd done an episode or two of Martin, Jamie yes. Foxx show. Like, he made the cycle mm-hmm. through all of the UPN and Fox shows yeah. in the 90s.
And then he makes the jumps to movies.
Yep. Yep.
So all he was yards. In Armageddon.
Armageddon.
Right? Like, you know, he has
Green
his role in Armageddon.
Green
Mile. He showed his ass, mm-hmm. pause.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
He was really good.
Man,
one thing that I also wanted to call out as a testament to Martin's acting is the way Martin shrunk. In front of his father.
Yeah.
He all,
yeah.
like, you know, even he's his big
he's
personality. You know what I mean? Like, you know, but the way he, yeah, dad.
Yeah.
Yes,
yes,
dad.
Yes sir. No, yes,
yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You know what I mean? Like, and I thought that was interesting because I thought it was interesting. You know, this movie has a lot of subtle shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a comedy,
mm-hmm.
But I love the fact that he lost his luggage.
Yeah,
you know, like he, mm-hmm. like he lost.
Yes,
he lost his camouflage.
He lost.
He lost. He lost his
armor.
Peacock feathers.
He lost his armor. His peacock feathers.
Yeah,
you know, if he had that, this would have been a completely different movie.
100%.
He's already a laughing stock, fresh off the plane.
Fresh off.
Yeah. As soon as he got out the rental car, they were like, "Hey, look at your little yeah. picnic pants, man. Hey, boo boo. Mm-hmm. The picnic pants. Like, he getting clowned by his
yeah. and the rental car itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
If he has shown up in the white fit.
Yep.
RJ would have came home.
Yes.
This would have been yes. welcome home RJ. Yes.
Right.
But because he lost all of that.
Yeah.
Because none of that was all of that was props.
Yeah.
yeah.
It wasn't who he was.
Right.
Roscoe came home.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was great. I thought the fact that he had to come home as he was.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Without all of the other shiny shit, made it great. And I think it made it easier for the family to welcome him back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because he was not it. He was not an other.
Right.
Yeah, he was just, he was Roscoe.
Yeah, yeah. Roscoe with the goofy ass pants on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love this movie. It's a reunion film for anybody. You are from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go home, how does that feel?
Oh, man.
You know.
I'm not back home, because when I get back home in front of my mom and my sister, I'm just Clayton.
Right.
It mm-hmm. ain't, yeah, and I saw you doing this and I saw you do- mm-hmm. Take that trash Take the out.
Take that trash
Take
out.
Take the trash.
And I don't know why you're raising your voice. And it's mm-hmm. like, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? You're yeah. right back to uh-huh. who you were before you left. These are your real people.
Yes. And these are the people that remind you who you are.
Yeah.
And, I love that.
And for him, I'm okay with that. He wasn't.
No.
Roscoe wasn't okay. RJ wasn't okay with no. that. He didn't want to be reminded of who he was.
Because mm-hmm. he fought so hard to not be him anymore. It's like, for them, they're like, yo, this is my little brother. Or, oh, look at my son. He's like, listen, growing up was a hellhole for me. Mm-hmm. It might have been good for you because you're the older brother. Good for you because you're the older sister. Good for you because you're the cousin coming into this. But me, I got picked on all the time. Nobody ever took my side. This is hell. Mm-hmm. And I finally got out to make something of myself. And I want to show it and shove it in all y'all's faces. And I want my father to say he's proud of me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how my father in real life, before he died, he kept telling me how proud he was. And that felt like winning an Academy Award mm-hmm. because throughout all of my stand-up career, I would be like, tell all these jokes and do all these things. And he would never laugh. And I'm like, everybody is laughing and you're not laughing. And it wasn't until as he was, you know, winding down, he's like, I just wanted you to know, I'm really proud of you, son. And I was like,
yeah,
I needed that.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
what Roscoe needed.
Right.
Yeah. yeah.
Even
because yes, I think some dads love differently. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Like some dads are the cheering dad in the stands.
Yeah.
You know, go, take it to the house. Da, da, da. Right. And there are other dads that marvel, that love you so much that even while you're doing your thing, all they can do is just admire. This is my little boy. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you know, look at him doing his thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, I'm not a regular fan.
Yeah.
This is not a regular performance. I'm looking at you like that's my boy.
Mm,
yeah. I remember when he was little. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he probably can't even hear the jokes.
No.
Because mm-hmm. all he can do is look. I do that sometimes with my daughters. I just look at them and they'll be doing something and I can't even acknowledge what they're doing because I remember when they couldn't do it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, marveling at the activity.
I remember when they was, yeah. you know, I remember when you couldn't walk.
Yeah.
Now you cheering, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm,
so your mind is over there like, man.
Yeah. She, you know.
She just did the backflip. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how.
She's walking. I'm so on the fact that she's walking.
Yeah. and there was subtle love from James Earl Jones like that. Subtle. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, like he tried. Like, you know, when they have the scene to build the table, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go in and they're working on the table. And he asks his son in some very specific questions. Right? Like, you know, do you want to get married? Right. right? Like, you know, what kind of wedding do you want? But you can see the fracture between them as well.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, like, sir, you know, sure. so it wasn't, you could say that there's a fundamental communication gap,
mm-hmm.
a lack of understanding, yes. a lack of respect between the two.
Yeah.
That was still very much present. And you could see at the very end of that conversation, some RJ defiance come out. Right? Like, you know, still mm-hmm. respectful, but like, check back to you.
You
right?
know what?
Yeah.
I completely agree. Mm-hmm. The yes, and for me, seeing that movie and seeing so many different things that I can relate to my life, right? My entire life, love my father, of course, but being raised by my mother was always the one who handled things and she's a very dominant personality. And I would just be so small and I would like, you know, whatever my mom say, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And something happened a year ago to where I had to let her know I'm a man
mm-hmm,
and right. I had to let her know how things were going to go. And it felt so good to not only stand up for myself, but to tell my mom what was up in a respectful way,
mm-hmm.
letting her know how much I love her and everything, but this is how things are. And to see my mother become, it was like, this is what I was waiting on, because at the end of the day, I am a woman I've led you this far. Now you up. Whatever you say, son. It's boom. Like, mm-hmm. man, I could have done this sooner.
Oh, yeah, sooner. Mm-hmm.
But it's the respect factor. And that's what I saw with James Earl Jones, where it was like, I'm tired of this, daddy. Mm-hmm. It's always that. And he's just taking it.
Yep. He took it.
And at the very end, it was like, you stood up to me. I was the biggest boss of them all.
Right.
And that's what I felt.
Papa Jenkins.
Mm-hmm. Papa Jenkins, man.
Here's the thing. You just said, I should have did this sooner. And he was like, man, she finally... Say, okay, you're the boss. And this is what I was waiting for, son.
Yeah.
I think, because, you know, RJ is the youngest out of the three kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you notice, Betty, Monique's character, she knows who she is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She don't have no shame. She talking how she wouldn't talk in front of her family, her mom, and her mom. Her mom had to find, hey, get in the house.
Get in the house.
You talking crazy.
Yeah.
But she is who she is.
Yeah.
Big Otis is the sheriff of the town.
Mm-hmm.
He was the best linebacker in the state.
Yeah,
he hurt his knee, and now he stayed at home, got his wife, and his two big ass kids. He loves his life.
He loves his life.
He said, "Man, I could do my thing. I'm the sheriff of this town."
He loved his truck.
He loved everything.
Loved
to be on that grill.
Yeah,
he was okay with who he was.
Yeah,
Monique was okay with who she was.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And his mom and dad. Mama Jenkins, Papa Jenkins was okay with that. They saw, you got to parent your kids different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Otis was always, he was the best.
Yeah.
He's probably the biggest, strongest dude in the city.
Yeah.
That's my boy. Mm-hmm. I don't got to uplift him. He already knows he's the greatest.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And he's even okay with being who he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The sheriff, not the NFL player. Mm-hmm. He don't need Hollywood. He don't need the money. He's fine with what he has. And Monique, crazy ass, Betty is who she is.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think he resented his son. Not resented. Was upset. Frustrated with his son. Because even at the end of the movie, the wife was like, baby, just because he has your name doesn't mean he's you.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bar.
I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, I'm not a father yet, but I can just imagine being a father and giving your son your namesake and him not doing what you would do.
Yeah.
Your boy Roscoe was always unsure of himself, and his father didn't like that.
Yeah.
His father, all these kids beating you, and you always just unsure of yourself, which is why you weren't winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You didn't have that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because you're so unsure of yourself.
Yeah.
You're sure you did just, you, the flashbacks when he was a kid, his face, he was always, not sure if I can or not. You know what I'm saying? And his father was like, man, come on, toughen up. Yeah.
Whereas Clyde, I think Papa Jenkins could understand and measure Clyde's intangibles and his obvious successes in a way that he couldn't do with RJ.
Because he's not his.
Right. You know? So for
and Papa, I know I got to give you that love.
Exactly. Papa Jenkins goes, Clyde got three
dealerships. That's crazy. Damn, I got a whole show in L.A.
I got a mansion.
Yep.
But to Papa Jenkins, he understands Clyde got three dealerships.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so he respects that. You know, Clyde show up with pies. Right?
A whole truck of pies. Escalade back full.
Yeah.
But this is the way, and this goes to where we live and what we do for a living. The people back home where I'm from don't understand, even if I explain to them what Hollywood or social media is. Mm-hmm. They get it if they see a large number, but you got to understand, a large number to a lot of people might be 500 views.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, that's good. 500 people saw this. Because I remember me being out here for years and getting a video to hit 500 views, telling Tangerine, it got 500 views.
Juiced.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't possibly understand. So for him saying Clyde has three dealerships, I get that because I own a car and I got this from a dealership and my adopted son has three of these dealerships.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you doing it. But if I see this TV show, all right, Hollywood, a lot of people looking at you. Okay. Yeah. But he doesn't get it.
Right.
And that, oh man, this movie.
Mm-hmm. Man, here's the thing.
Yeah.
People in the South let it eat.
Oh yeah.
Give them a fat back TV and some pie. They straight. They don't need a flat screen.
Nah.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
They want them pies.
Yeah.
Mom was juiced about them pies.
She was giddy. She was beside herself.
Come on, man.
She was beside herself.
She beside herself like a mug.
Like hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So it just shows that it was a disconnect.
Yeah.
The family that he left behind, they own this and you own that.
Yeah.
And it's not mixing. And it's, even then, you can't do right. I got all this money, all this fame, all this notoriety, all this status.
Yeah.
And y'all don't care.
Yeah. Don't care, bro.
But they care about tangible shit like cars and, you know what I'm saying, a dealership. And all like that mm-hmm. that's more important.
I think what's real interesting is how family puts a premium on presence.
Mm-hmm.
They can appreciate everything that you're doing as long as you're not parachuting in their life, into their life every 5 or 6 years.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Like if you show up and they get to see you, they get to ask questions
yeah.
and learn a little bit more versus, there you go, Mr. Hollywood.
Mm. Yeah.
You know,
Mr. Stevens.
Yeah. He comes.
Dr. Stevens. He came home to Dr. Stevens.
Yeah. Like, you know, you don't care about us
mm-hmm.
enough to show up. So we don't care about you.
Right.
Right? Yeah. You know?
And so I feel like even with RJ Sr., Roscoe Sr., he's at fault too.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And wife, one thing I wish would have happened was that one-on-one conversation where he officially apologized. He needed to apologize too, because there were things
I'm listening. Oh, yeah. I want you to advance this point.
Yeah. There were things that he didn't do as a father that might have helped shaped Roscoe Jr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like he didn't have the support of his father. Even if he did, he felt he didn't. And if your son feels he didn't,
mm-hmm.
chances are he didn't have the full support.
He is of a different generation. I know we throw that around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But James Earl Jones's character in Roscoe Sr. would never have been able to say, son, I'm sorry.
Facts. Yep.
He could. That's not in his DNA.
Yeah.
It only goes the way that it went because him saying, I need to accept my son, the way that he apologized, honestly, was him listening to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
When his wife said, even though he has your name, he's not you. And it's like, damn, that mm-hmm. look
yeah.
was the I'm sorry, I realized the error of my ways. Mm-hmm. He would never give that to his son or mm-hmm. even another man
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
a man over the age of, I think James might have been 60 or 70 in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
If he's 60 or 70 years old, that's not how they're wired.
Yeah. Right.
They're wired, take care of my family, pay these bills, make sure everybody eats.
Sorry.
Clothes.
I'll just that's fix it.
If memory serves me correctly, he wasn't even tripping at the banquet. Like, I think it was his wife that said, I wish Roscoe was here.
He made his choice.
Yeah.
He wasn't tripping.
He washed his hands.
Even at that point. So you're right. Like, even despite all of the stuff that, like, RJ said, and the need for Papa Jenkins to apologize, he had already calloused that part.
Yeah.
Even,
you know,
even,
like, he wasn't even like, he made his choice.
I'm done.
Right. I'm done.
Even when he didn't whoop Clyde when they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
Clyde hugged him. He didn't hug Clyde. It wasn't like, come here, son. He was like, I'm going to spare you this ass whooping. Don't mm-hmm. let this shit happen again.
Yeah.
Get on out of here.
Yeah.
And Clyde hugged him. He didn't even know how to respond to that. He was like,
that goes to show the emotion.
Yeah. My father was a loving father, hands-on. I love you, son.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a hug. He was that, which is crazy because he wasn't raised that way.
Right.
He was raised the opposite. He was raised abusive. He was abused, mm-hmm. violently abused as a son.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I think that's why he is the way he was, because he didn't really hug my older brothers. I came around, I got the best part of my father.
Best part.
In his 50s.
Yeah.
In his 50s.
He's grown.
That version.
Yeah, so, but some men never adopt that.
Yeah.
My father adopted it, you know what I'm saying? But it took him a while, because my dad told me stories. My brothers told me stories about Pops. Like, Pops gave you a hug? Pops didn't give me a hug until you were born.
But when you told me that about your dad, first of all, I don't know if you ever had the pleasure of meeting his late father.
Nah, he didn't.
Your dad.
He shouldn't.
Had so much love, like his energy was just pure love.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's for you to tear up anything,
no.
but it was like every time I was around him, I was like, man, this guy's the sweetest guy mm-hmm. in the world.
Yeah.
And then you start telling me stories about how he was, and I was like, impossible, right?
Nah.
Yeah. And you start learning, same thing with my dad or with my mother. We were raised differently because we were had at different points in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
My older sister, she's like, oh, mama was a different person, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got the version of him that was evolved, he had time, he had this love for you,
mm-hmm.
and not to say he didn't love your brothers, but it was like
showing it was different.
It was different.
He did. He told me like he had so much pressure to be the father,
ooh.
And fathering mm-hmm. to him meant strict being strict, mm-hmm. being the warden. Yeah. And that's cool. You got to be that. You know, my brothers understand that, but the nurturing. The nurturing for your mom is great. You need mm-hmm. that. You know what I'm saying? But too much of it to make you, too much of it with nothing else will yeah. make you a soft and coddled child.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You're nurturing from your father, even if he don't hug you, but son, I'm proud of you. That a boy, yeah. that a boy, son, mm-hmm. those things help you.
Yeah.
And Roscoe Jenkins didn't get enough of that.
None
I
got of it. It.
I was very confident as a kid. I never yeah. second guessed myself because my pops made me feel like I was the best thing ever in life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so I never felt like, damn, can I be him? I could be him. My dad's my dad.
Yeah.
He made me. So yeah. My dad was Superman. Yeah. So he made me, nigga. I'm Superboy. Nigga,
I'm
cracking.
Superboy. Yeah. That's yeah.
But Roscoe felt like Otis was Superboy.
Yeah.
He didn't have that.
I felt like.
And that's why he was so uneasy yes. and so, it lacked so much confidence.
I yeah. think that, like, because Clyde is an incredibly likable kid.
Yeah.
And person.
Charismatic.
Right? Yes. Like, you know, and
very
that's.
Sure of himself.
And it's always difficult to share the room with the charismatic guy.
That's tough. Mm.
You know what I mean? It's always very tough when even your dad seems to prefer the company.
That will crush a boy, man.
of Clyde.
Prefer right. the company.
You know, like
prefer the company.
You know, like even like if you watch the way Papa Jenkins responds to when Clyde shows up. He's smiling from ear to ear.
That's crazy.
You know, he's That's basically crazy. Galloping down to the car to you right. know to say what's up. And Clyde is passing out charm. Cups of charm. What's
yeah,
up, man?
Passing hey, out now. Charm.
Yeah, what up, man? There you go. Right?
What up, big O? Hey, what's up, baby? Yeah. Oh, what's up?
Yeah. Everyone loves Clyde.
Everyone.
And so imagine what it's like. To grow up like that.
Right. Yes.
To grow yes. up in the same room.
That's tough, bro.
Same house with the charismatic guy. Right?
And then.
Your point.
Mm. And then on top of that, Clyde stole.
And stole your girl.
What Roscoe.
Come on.
Stole your girl.
He stole what was Roscoe's.
Yeah. What Roscoe earned.
He earned it.
Yeah.
It's important to call out that he earned it.
Yeah.
Ah, such an important scene.
Yes.
He earns it and immediately learns the lesson that it does not matter.
It does not matter.
Lucinda.
It does not matter.
You know why yeah. it doesn't matter? That scene, because, and this is what I learned the hard way. I learned, so B.T. Kingsley.
Shout out to B.T. Kingsley.
B.T. Kingsley, this guy is a villain. And I'm going to tell you why, bro. My entire life, I tried to play by the rules because I thought everybody was watching the same cartoons I was, mm-hmm. right? Uh-huh. Honor, you don't do these bad things and you will be rewarded, right? Mm-hmm. Roscoe Jenkins said, all right, bet. I want to ask her to the joint. You want to ask her to the joint. Let's have this race. Whoever wins gets to ask. Yeah. He does all of that. Clyde says, anyway, so what's going on, yeah. baby? You want to do that? Mm-hmm. And it's like, yo, but I thought we were, this is what I learned from B.T. Kingsley. My whole life, I was like, you know, you get into fights and you're like, you know, you fight honorably. I'm going to fight. I'm not going to pick mm-hmm. anything up to hurt. This is just fists.
Right.
BT said, it's a fight. I'm not playing with honor. I'm trying to win. Mm-hmm. If there's something around to hurt you or even break something, I'm going to do it. And it blew my mind because there are a lot of people who think that way. Mm-hmm. And that was a lesson that you see young Roscoe learn about Clyde in the world. That mm-hmm. just because you play fair doesn't yep. mean other people are going to play fair. Right.
Yep.
Blew my mind, bro.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And Roscoe learns that, like, life isn't fair because he gets his ass beat and Clyde doesn't.
Ooh.
And they're guilty of the same thing.
Same
and
thing.
He's right there watching. He's right there watching. He's looking for fairness. And then he realized he's looking.
Your turn now.
Yeah. What? Yeah. And so I think at that point, it's very clear that Roscoe's leaving.
Yeah. At 12, I'm
at
12, out.
At 12, he was like, fuck this place.
He's not going.
Like, nobody's to stay honorable. There.
Nobody.
Nobody's,
my father
is fair.
Isn't even.
He's charismatic. Mm-hmm. I'm fucking gone. Like, I think at that point, he started looking at colleges on the West Coast.
At 12.
UC bro. San Diego. Like, he was
UC
like,
San Diego.
He immediately was like, I want to go. I want to be up out.
Yeah.
He contemplated. I remember getting in trouble in college, in high school, I'm sorry, and my grades started slipping.
Mm.
And I came home and I had to show my father my progress report card. Had an F on that bad boy.
Ooh.
And a D.
Mm-hmm.
My dad said, okay. No, at first it was a C. That was like 6 weeks prior.
Because that was the progress report, yeah. Not a report card that right. came out.
And the next one was still a progress. You get like two progress report cards.
Then report card.
And then report card.
Yeah.
Two or three, actually. He said, all right, son, get that shit up, man. I said, all right, yes, sir. I came back. It was worse. F and a D and a C. He was like, okay, so all right, cool. Me warning you to get it up wasn't good enough. You ain't playing football no more. You're done.
Oh, after, that was a punishment?
After school, come home. Let you not be home. You get out at 3:15. At 3:10, be home by 3:25. You got 15 minutes. Let you not be home. Let's see what happened. Pops straight. I was like, nigga, I'm a senior, bro.
I'm a senior,
bro. Captain on the football team, bro. I'm getting recruited. What are you doing? Didn't care. No grades.
Yep.
So
Pops I'm a straight. Captain.
I missed 2 days of practice, bro. 2 days of practice. Hurt. I'm sick in the room. I'm sick. Mm-hmm. I'm like, he don't understand, nigga. We poor, nigga. I need a scholarship, nigga.
That's what I'm going to college.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a progress report, Pops. I'm going to get it right. It's progress report. All he my dad don't understand is he sees it's a report card. I said, don't keep saying it's a progress. It's not a report card. Mm-hmm. It's a progress report card. You know what I'm saying? That's it. Long story short, he let me back on the team after 3 days of missing practice, like a whole week or some mm-hmm. shit. And he let me back on the team because I was sick. He could tell I was dying.
I was sick.
Yeah. Dying, bro. And he was like, son, I'm panicking. I panicked. And I just saw that you was fucking up. And I couldn't let you fuck up, so I had to do something drastic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Go back on the team and get that shit going. I graduated with straight A's.
Yeah.
You know wow.
what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying? But that's because of Pops. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? I'm smart. You know what I mean? But Pops also was aggressive.
Yeah.
So being smart, being cool, a little smart and an aggressive ass Pops mm-hmm. with them grades. Is why I had straight A's. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. But you always been, and I don't think people even understand the level of intelligence that you have.
Man.
You've always been so smart. So the fact that you mm-hmm. were even having a C, a D, and an F.
I was senior year, you start tripping.
Too
you start,
smart.
You start relaxing. Shit. I already got my college letters and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting recruited heavy. So nigga, your head getting kind of like swole. You know, yeah. So
and I mean, at that point, you realize that like this shit don't really matter.
It don't.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like you get to that point and you're like at some point in time you realize that like I'm in control of my life.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I'm already mentally past this place.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
Right.
And like, I already knew I was leaving.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
I'm getting the fuck up out of here. I love my pops. This is my nigga.
It's hard.
But I'm gone.
It's hard to stay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right. You get recruited. You get recruited. Off your sophomore and junior year, not just for sports but athletically too. Like your report cards, because you're already SATs before your last grades of your senior year come in. You already accepted to colleges.
Or that's why accepted. Senior year isn't as important,
right?
Man, I thought it was ninth. Well, I knew I ruined my ninth grade year, but 10th through 12th, I was on an honor roll the entire 3 years. Mm-hmm. They were looking at 9th, 10th, and 11th. And I'm mm-hmm. like, but what about 10th, 11th, and 12th? They're like, no. Yeah. I didn't know that until too late. But
10th and 11th for sure. 10th and 11th, 9th grade, no one cares.
So,
you know what I'm saying?
So before we get into some awards, I got some questions to ask you guys.
Yeah.
Right? Where is this movie a top five movie for Martin?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Break them out. Count. Ooh. Count them out.
Okay, so we got
life.
Well, okay, are we leading with movies that he's done with other people? Because I look at Life and I look at the Bad Boy series as him with someone. When I'm thinking about Martin movies,
as a purely Martin vehicle,
thin line between love and hate,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
uh huh.
That's there.
Talking Dirty After Dark.
It's a classic.
Yeah, those who, if you haven't seen that, go see that. Matter of fact, you're coming back for that. Cool.
Talking Dirty After Dark?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay.
You got to.
Thin Line, Talking Dirty After Dark. You got to have this on there. Welcome to Roscoe Jenkins.
Yes.
Damn, that's a co-lead thing.
I don't mind the co-leads, though. But if you're doing solo lead.
Blue Streak?
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm
Blue
sorry.
Streak.
Blue Streak.
Blue Streak, for sure.
What's the worst that could happen?
What's the worst that could happen?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Which is even more criminally under.
But that's a co-star too. But
But that was a lead engine. The only reason it wasn't, okay, when I say co-lead, like you look at life, you look at Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence, that's bam, them two.
Two superstars. Yeah.
Yeah. Two superstars.
Tim Robbins is a star. You don't even think about
who the villain is of that movie, because the villain was the that white cop. Yeah. I mean, a white dude that framed him with the thing, who had he took his father's watch.
Oh, you're talking about life, yes.
Yeah, yes, yes. So that's Martin and him both being heroes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But when you look at what's the worst that could happen, Danny DeVito was the villain in that movie.
Yes. Yep.
So Martin was still holding his own. He had his own team of people, Bernie, Maggie, all of them. Yes. But it was Martin led.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, Bad Boys, co-led with Will. So just Martin movies.
I'm thinking, what's the worst that can happen? I just mistook for Nothing to Lose with Tim Robbins.
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah. Nothing to Lose. Yeah, another co-lead.
But another good
classic.
One.
Yes.
Okay. So this is maybe an unanswerable question.
Mm-hmm.
But if Martin and said, don't get into the fight and come crashing into the kitchen, does this movie fundamentally change? The reason why I ask is that the wife is now comfortable. The fiance. Joy's character is now comfortable. She's drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
She's getting along. Everybody's laughing.
She got faded a little bit.
She got faded a little bit. Like, if she gets more comfortable with the family, do they make it out of there still engaged?
No. Let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
You do know that regardless if they had an argument or the fight, that obstacle course at the end of the weekend was going to happen. It's tradition.
Yeah.
That was going to evoke old emotions.
That was, and that was going to be inevitable.
It was inevitable.
Yeah.
Inevitable.
And she was, her competitive nature was going to come out regardless.
It was already starting to.
I just thought.
That's a good question.
It was because it's the one scene where she's happy and she's comfortable.
Yeah.
And she's a part of the family.
Right.
And sometimes all it takes is for the girl you brought home to get comfortable.
That's it.
And now you can get comfortable too.
But that her flaw wasn't even, I mean, the entire inevitable, but the thing that happened that ruined her was when, because Martin was cool with all of that. Roscoe was cool with her being uppity and treating everybody weirdly and the family not liking her. He didn't care.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It was until she said, leave your son behind.
Yeah. And he did, too.
And he did. That was the, all right, you can't have her around. Because if she's saying leave him behind on that's something crazy. Like this.
That's nuts.
That's crazy.
This is a character flaw, bro. That's
crazy, bro.
She don't care about him.
She don't care about nobody.
Yeah.
Right.
But winning.
Yeah. If you got a woman in your life that don't care about your kids, or a man in your life that don't care about your kids, run. Leave him behind. Leave her behind. That's crazy.
Because she also didn't care about his family. He told her how he felt about his family, and she came in with that armor on for him. Yeah. Like, nobody matters except for us. We're going to show them, baby. Mm-hmm. You're going to show them how great you are and how great this is. Yeah. And this is team. Like, that's how
team
she was.
Team me.
And even, even at the end, she was very eager to be like, when Martin was saying who he wasn't going to invite to the wedding, she was like, I'm so glad you said that.
See?
Because I wasn't fucking with him.
See?
Right? Basically, you know what I mean? So that's a great reveal.
And the dice game in the fight was traumatic for sure, but they kind of got past that. They did. Because it wasn't until the obstacle course happened where they weren't even tripping at first. They started off cool. Then he said some slick to him. And then he was like, I'll beat you again, bro. You talking about? Remember, he already had on sweats, on a t-shirt and shorts. He went and changed again.
Yes,
into some Jordan gear, some Nike gear, and said went and got dressed.
Yep.
So that they were already there. They left and came back.
Yes, happening.
So it was going to happen regardless.
Said
it was a situation that was going inevitably happen.
Said the entertainer. We gave him credit for top five, his acting ability there, but Sid's character work, when he's in his pockets of being able to show these ranges, in my opinion, he's not able to show it on The Neighborhood, which is an incredibly funny show. He's always going to be legendary funny, but you see Sid kind of going into a character. Sid, when he's able to just be free, bro, and in this movie, he was free.
Yeah.
He's showing you the slight hand movements, the eyes, all of this to let you know. And that's why I love the casting of Young Clyde and as said.
Young Clyde was amazing. Young Clyde was amazing.
Yeah.
When they finally let said do a dramatic role,
yes,
he can win an Emmy or an Oscar.
Immediately.
He's like, yeah, because he's super strong. And you brought about, you talked about this when we were talking about Nutty Professor, mm-hmm. and it's always stuck with me because I always find it to be brilliant. When you talk about what actors pull from, yeah. right? What they pull from. And you can tell from Sed's comedy that he's been yeah. in some rooms and some places and some characters that there's a deep reservoir yeah. for him to
Uncle,
pull
father,
from.
Grandfather.
And pull from it from a dramatic standpoint. Yeah. Right?
Look yeah. at Barbershop. Mm-hmm. Like, we all laugh yeah. at that character. But Sed was one of the first young guys believably playing an old man. Mm-hmm. Sid yeah, was probably was. The same yeah. age as Cube in that movie.
Yeah.
And he's playing the significantly older man, and we believed it for three straight movies.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's the ability.
Yeah.
When you look at top five, we were all like, we know that character, but I didn't know Sid right. could do that. Mm-hmm. That's yeah. how incredible he is.
Yeah. 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 Somebody's going to put him in an HBO drama.
Ooh.
That's yeah. going to fundamentally change and, the yeah. way we look at
it. It's going to prolong his career, too.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he's going to be one of them dudes to 70. He's going to be a Morgan Freeman type yeah. guy. He'll be acting forever.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
should be.
You know what I'm saying?
He's got that kind of ability.
And on top of that, he's still funny as hell.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he could definitely go drama for sure.
Hot take. Is this movie fundamentally different if you cast Jamie Foxx as Clyde?
Here's the thing. Last time I had my brother here,
yeah.
we had a disagreement.
Yeah.
And I still disagree with that yeah. hot take, that steaming hot take. But
mm-hmm.
that's a great question. And if I'm being honest, now, first of all, those two young men here, Brother Martin Lawrence and Jamie Foxx, mm-hmm. have influenced me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. man.
Ideally, sure. probably primarily, for sure. You can tell in my comedy, you can tell in how I write. Everything. You know what I'm saying? I don't do the mannerisms as much because I'm a bigger guy.
Mm-hmm.
It don't fit that well. You know what I'm saying? But I grew up doing and mimicking them my whole life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think Jamie Foxx could do anything. He's extremely talented, probably one of the mm-hmm. most talented dudes that ever graced a stage
mm-hmm.
or a movie set. I had one thing about Roscoe Jenkins that Martin brought to life was just this Good's grouch type character.
Mm-hmm.
Martin is super silly.
Yeah.
He also plays very serious
mm-hmm.
in the same movie, same show, same yeah. scene. He can jump in and out of it. Mm-hmm. Jamie's done serious. We've seen him mm-hmm. do dramatic. And he does a great job. Roscoe Jenkins, because it was already played by Martin,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I could see him playing Buddy Love. Our Nutty Professor, in that sense, the same as if we had to take Eddie out of there and put somebody else there,
yeah.
I could see Jamie doing it.
Yeah,
I don't know if I see him doing Roscoe Jenkins and it being as effective as Martin mm-hmm. did. Martin plays a perfect Roscoe Jenkins.
He does. And you want to know why? Because I thought, okay, if Jamie was in this movie, he would have had to have been Clyde.
That's
the only way it would have fit.
Mm-hmm. A perfect Clyde. Cedric, we don't need to leave. We don't need to switch him out. We don't have to switch you out at all.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case Cedric wasn't there or available, mm-hmm. Jamie Foxx would have murdered
And there's that. Nobody else in Hollywood that would have been able to do it other than those two guys.
Yeah.
But
Boom.
Jamie couldn't have played Roscoe, and I'm going to tell you why. There was only one thing that Jamie would have been missing playing Roscoe.
Let's hear it.
And that was the heart. There's a humility that Martin gave in this movie throughout. The humility of, man, I lost again, or man, I couldn't get the girl, or man, my dad doesn't love me. Jamie has given heart in so many different performances, but never in the pockets that we saw Roscoe show the heart.
I'm trying to disagree, and I don't think I can't.
I think he's right.
I'm like, no, I can find that heart for Jamie. I can find it. He showed it.
I'm talking about a similar circumstances
No.
of losing.
You're absolutely right. Like, I can't.
Yeah. Because I love Jamie, to me, I agree wholeheartedly with everything that you said. I literally, 10 years ago, I had to really be like, man, I have to be myself, because there were so many moments where I was like, mm-hmm. I'm starting to sound like Jamie. Let mm-hmm. me change my band.
Yeah.
He's incredible. But it was like the pockets that Martin gave Roscoe in the uncertainties and in the heart was like, I can't see Jamie pulling that off that
way. He hasn't shown me that yet.
Right.
He hasn't shown me that yet. I got to see him in a movie where I've seen, this is why I love Roscoe Jenkins, the film,
mm-hmm.
This is my first time seeing one of my favorite actors, favorite entertainers
yeah.
look vulnerable as hell.
Yeah.
Like he was literally literally in the movie the loser of the movie.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like I've never seen him even the shiftless cousin Reggie. Mm-hmm. Mike Epps was teasing him, making fun of him.
Somebody give him a bread to pepper.
Getting the upper hand on him all the time.
Yeah,
the
entire time.
Ain't
nothing changed around here.
Nothing. Yeah,
you still the low man.
You still low man,
you
bro.
You still the low man.
And Reggie is probably the little cousin.
Yeah.
And you still losing to your little cousin.
You still the low man. So there's one quick take, and then we have to get to awards.
We do.
What's interesting is that, and I wrote this in my notebook when I was watching the movie. If you cast Jamie as Clyde, it makes sense from an appearances standpoint.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, Jamie is more attractive than Martin.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to be more athletic mm-hmm. than Martin.
Right.
Smoother than Martin. Mm-hmm. So it all kind of like makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in a weird kind of way, like Sid don't look more athletic than Martin. So it's just like I'm just as good as this guy.
Yeah.
Why are y'all giving him so much love? Right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he's not better looking than me.
Right.
You know, he's not, you know, why y'all love him like that?
It's the confidence.
You know what I mean? And so I thought that was interesting. So I think the fact that like Cedric's Clyde is not demonstrably better than Roscoe at anything.
Right.
Besides working a room. Maybe, right?
Look like, at you the don't have that Trump. Cedric the Entertainer, go back his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
Every movie you've seen him in, every show you've seen him in,
mm-hmm.
nobody's ever cracked a fat joke.
Yep.
No!
You get what I'm saying?
Cedric is not the...
because he's not the dude that mm-hmm. you're going to do that to because he's making you fall in love with him so much that you'd be like...
Yeah. That's a great point.
Listen.
I've never heard...
Never.
...a Cedric the Entertainer fat joke.
No.
No.
Never, I've never seen him get teased. He's not the butt of nobody's jokes.
No.
He's too smooth.
The big sexy.
He's too, yes.
And he's never even said, he's never even acknowledged his weight.
Nope.
On Kings of Comedy, the only thing that he said remotely close to him being big is he's like, I done hurt my whole left side.
My whole left side. My whole left side. Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. Uh-huh. And mm-hmm. that's just a body thing. He didn't say nothing about weight.
Yeah.
Right. So, bro, it's like, I don't know how you've been able to have this almost 40-year career without it.
It's him as a person.
Yep.
I promise you, in real life, he's like that.
Yeah.
They cast him as the lovable woman magnet.
Yeah.
His woman in Steve Harvey's show was a beast.
Yeah.
LaVita Alizé Jenkins.
Yes. Yeah.
She was extremely underrated because she played the Kelly Bundy. She played mm-hmm. the dummy.
Right.
But she's a beautiful ass, tall, chocolate woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she loved the hell out of Cedric. Seti.
Seti.
Yeah. So I think the casting directors look at him as that. He's gonna be the heartthrob. He's gonna be the guy mm-hmm. that can pull someone like a Lucinda.
Yep.
Or someone like LaVita Alizé Jenkins.
Yep.
That guy, there's, big boy.
That's
he can pull
but
it.
But that's a real dynamic, right? Like, you know, because guys with that kind of personality that light up the room,
yeah,
you know, like there's somebody to be like, man, he don't, you know, he don't got this, he mm-hmm. don't got that, but he got the one thing,
yeah,
he's got that cool.
It's the thing,
he's got that cool. He's got, you know, he's cool and he's funny and he's charming, right?
Some like
those, like if you've got any combination of that,
you
that will always beat Fit,
yeah,
and that will always be that will always ultimately beat Fine.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot of guys, you know, I don't need to pause, maybe, but there's a lot of guys that's fine. Handsome guys.
You can definitely pause that.
But in context, we know where you're going with it. We know where you're going with it.
It almost felt like when I'm driving too fast and it's not enough time for me to hit the brakes, I'm going to have a collision. Right?
You were going there.
Yeah, so it's just dang. Like, so there are a lot of guys, there are a lot of men that are handsome.
Mm, right.
Right? And uh-huh. they've traded off of that. That's their primary export.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know, is the fact that they're handsome. And I think that works for young women. Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I think once you give me some charm or give me some funny,
mm-hmm.
those guys always win in the end.
Yeah,
right. Because, you know, those are the things that women are and that people are attracted to.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's why, you know, the big funny, you know, charming guy always has the most friends.
Always.
Because he's that dude. And that is who Ced's Clyde is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's that guy. Right?
He asked the girl that ended up being the prom queen mm-hmm. when they were kids. They were 12. Are you gonna go to the dance with me? And she said yes.
Yeah.
She wasn't waiting for nobody else. She was like, oh, right.
And he had no hesitation. He knew. You know what I mean? Like, and they say in the movie, and Clark been smashing his whole life.
Yeah. She said it.
He's a player.
The whole family. The beautiful. She was like, she said, I got love for Clyde, mm-hmm. but he's a player. Yeah. He's not serious about nobody. You know what I'm saying? That was her reason for not being with him.
Yeah.
Not his weight, not his looks. She was like, this dude is the man.
Everybody knew Clyde was smashing.
Clyde
smashing.
He was getting it in.
He was
completely overlooked that for years he's been smacking.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, he's the guy that girls be like, I don't know, it's just something about him.
There's something about
him. You know what I'm saying? He was like, hey man, you know.
Hey Clyde.
Oh, what's going on? What up? Cool. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Betty. Yeah. He's your cousin.
Yeah. Right.
That's the greatest running joke.
Even Betty was like, even his cousin was like, God damn, there's something about Clyde.
There's something about
Clyde. Listen, if you watch the way the yard moved and gravitated towards Clyde
when he got out the escalator,
I feel like damn near every extra on set was in proximity to the back of that.
Right.
And he was King Clyde.
King mm-hmm. Clyde.
Right, you know, showed up offering jokes, smiles, and pies.
Yep.
He's the best. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Let's go to MVP.
It's hard.
Who is the MVP? It is pause.
Pause is hell.
Woo!
Apologies.
Yeah.
Apologies. Super pause.
You got an accident too.
man.
Who was the MVP?
I got blindsided on myself.
Who was the MVP of Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins?
The most valuable player, man.
Mm-hmm. Most valuable player. I kind of got to give it to Joy Bryant. Joy Bryant was MVP. She delivered in every single scene she was in. She helped drive the story. She helped at every pivotal point in the story, except until her exit, she drove.
Mm-hmm.
From the very beginning, TV show, the airplane, the airport, meeting the family, during the family gatherings, all of it.
Wait a minute. Usually, I'll be like, I don't know her, but because the MVP would be somebody, he never had a conversation with someone that gave him the voice of reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He never had that, you know, you're forgetting who you became, this and the other.
Mm-hmm.
He never came to that conclusion except through her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He realized I completely lost myself because of her behavior and her statements, that talk they had on the way to the airport.
Yeah.
He was like, as opposed to usually that talk would be, hey, you know what? You can't forget where you came from. Mm-hmm. Your name is Roscoe Jenkins Jr., not Stevens.
Yeah.
And the girlfriend, the fiance would be the one to tell him, no, you need to go back
mm-hmm.
and fix this with your father and your mother.
Not
and your
her.
Cousin. No, but the same result happened.
Yep.
The end result was the same. She talked him into going back to his family because of her toxicity.
Yep. She wanted to get it all on camera.
She
wanted to replace the family with actors.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's wild. She did want that. Mm-hmm. She did that. She wanted that.
I can't fight that. My favorite character is Monique.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. She's my favorite.
Yes. You said MVP.
Yeah, yeah. I think you make a very compelling argument.
A lot of times we do that. We our MVP usually our favorite character.
Well, my favorite character is Monique. Monique, first of all, I'm such a fan of Monique on and off camera. She's so funny.
She's so
naturally.
Good.
And in that movie, I felt like, oh, thank you, Monique, because there's not been one movie where Monique did not deliver.
Yeah.
No, she's never had, she was hiding that. She's a killer.
I was watching this, literally, I said it out loud to my wife, I don't know who's winning. Because Mike Epps is killing.
My gosh.
He's killing. He's killing, and Monique is killing. But what's funny is that to me, why I give it to Monique is even her younger version was hilarious.
Yep.
When it would flash to her and she would be laughing at her ass.
You know,
like, I just thought it was great.
Let me tell you something about my Monique that I don't know who can do it.
Mm-hmm.
What female actress can do it? When Roscoe was giving his last speech at the banquet, at the 50-year anniversary, and she was crying, and she didn't even have to open her mouth up, and I'm laughing.
Mm-hmm.
She said, mm-mm, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Dog, see, I died.
That's subtle shit.
I was
right
real subtle shit.
That's subtle shit.
It's like, man, she did the same mm-mm impressions, and it was a different
Completely different. Mm-hmm.
But man, different character, different reason. She's amazing.
The only woman on earth that could have done that role justice if it wasn't Monique.
They give it to me.
Would have been Jennifer Lewis. And she's way too old to have been her. Wait,
yeah. Bro. All my entire life.
Yeah.
All my entire life.
Yeah.
Right, as you were saying this, I was like, there's nobody. Only yeah. person that he can do it, only person that can do that is Jennifer Lewis. Mm-hmm. On my life. Jennifer in my Lewis. Head. Mm-hmm. So when you say that, I was like, okay, I know I'm on to something. If Clayton yeah, Thomas thinks the same way. Hey man, that's a great cast, but she would be too
she's young. Too old.
Yeah, unless she was an auntie.
She immediately. And auntie, she could have been cast as that.
As auntie and give her some lines, yeah. give her some scenes. Yes. When she was like, when the scene where Mike Epps, I know we gotta go. Mm-hmm. Mike Epps and Monique were in the shower, in the bathroom. That was a scene they said we gotta keep this in there.
Yeah.
It was unnecessary. It didn't have to, did not mm-hmm. need to be there. They said this is comedy gold. She was like, I'm gonna tell my daddy, did you hear you trying to see my treats?
Mm-hmm.
See my treats.
See my treats.
Oh yeah. my gosh. Yeah.
Listen, she's it's interesting because Otis is authentic without saying much.
Yeah.
But he feels like a real person.
Yes, he does.
He Big bro, feels sure. like a real person.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Monique feels like a real person.
Yeah. Bro,
she, like, my cousin like, Marcia. Every interaction feels like something someone would do.
Yeah, man.
When she's interacting with Bianca, Joy Bryan's character.
Banaka.
Yeah. Banaka. The way she calls her Banaka.
Baloney.
But the way she's giving her chance and the way she said, we're trying to give you a chance, get to know you, such and such. The way she's messy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The way she, like, she's just, to me, like bottle that. Like, I love, to me, this is my favorite role that she's ever done.
Yes.
She's at her best here for me.
She said, when she pulled up on him, he was walking, after Big Bro knocked him out, and he's walking home, and she pulled up on him,
Ooh.
And she was like, man, ain't you tired of getting bitched? I started dying. See, because that's somebody, that's not in the script. And if it is, she took that script and made that line.
Yeah.
The way she said it,
she's trying to get bitched.
Getting bitched.
Yeah. Monique is a monster.
She is.
They let her cook.
And and that's why we don't have a lot of films like this anymore. This movie came out in 2008.
Yeah.
And we don't see black being portrayed this way. It's always over the top and not realistic.
The closest thing after this was Meyer Christmas with Monique, which came out in 2017.
We got to watch that.
This because it's interesting because this movie is authentic in a way that Tyler Perry movies, I don't want to say are not, but there's different levels.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One of the things that I noted about this movie is how good it is technically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? It's shot well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is paced wonderfully.
Yes.
Right?
No fat.
No fat on it at all.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that I know they ran a lot of film letting Mike Epps and Monique and others just go.
Yeah.
So, like, they took all of that footage and wrote it. And I was just like, this movie is really well done.
Yeah.
Like, it's just supremely well done.
The only complaint that I have, and this is with a lot of comedies, man. This is with a lot of rated R comedies. Directors don't include the bloopers like they used to. Like, there used to be a time growing up, we would see these movies.
I would have loved to see that.
And you see the whole 20 minutes of credits be bloopers. You'd be like, yes.
I feel like in this film, at the end where the credits were going, that was the bloopers. There was no laugh. They didn't break the third wall.
Right.
But, like, them just talking about their problems about on the show, on the TV show with him, I agree with you. That's why I do the bloopity bloops.
Yeah.
I gotta have
that's why I do bloopers for mine.
As you should.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's how we grew up. That's how we were raised. We raised this way.
Because if you laugh, if you like what we've condensed this to.
Yeah. Let me show you how long. Let me show you how it got there.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It was a work in progress.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Does this movie have an LVP?
Oh. An LVP.
You know what? The son was LVP. He was the least valuable person in this movie. Yeah.
We needed him.
We needed him,
but
we didn't need him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because that if you take the son out, the entire movie still stays the same.
Yeah,
right.
There's no difference. And also, as a child, when you see a child play a role like that, there also isn't a lot of opportunity for them to bring something special to it anyway, because there aren't a lot of other kids cast in the movie.
Right.
So it's like, unless you're the smart alecky kid, you're not really bringing anything to that film.
He was a good actor. He did a good job. A solid job.
It was okay.
Yeah.
He was okay.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm kind of with you. I mean, the thing is that, like, they gave him too much to do above his ability level.
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
So he generally just operates as a sourpuss for most of the movie. Right? Like, you know, kind of,
Hey, Dad, wish you would have killed me. Wish you would come more often.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That, like, that kind of beat. And because there's no good scene between him and Roscoe.
Yeah.
There's no, like, great conversation or great, revelation. True.
Good point.
So they don't like, close the circle.
Right.
And because of that, he's the most with everybody else being amazing.
Yeah.
He stands out as a...
And on top of that, Dad, help!
Yeah.
Nigga, if you don't get up over that thing...
Man, get over it. Or just drop down.
Yeah. Come on, man. And then being... if it's for the kids, so I get it. Mm-hmm. But if it was just for the kids, then... And the two adults shouldn't have been in it.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a problem. But it's just for the kids. The father ain't supposed to come help you. You're supposed to get over there or lose, nigga.
Because Otis's kids performed well.
Right.
They were funny.
Martin knocked one of the kids over.
Right. Yeah. So, the daughter. The niece.
Yeah.
But also, they're big-ass kids.
Big-ass
kids.
Real
quick, fun fact. I know we got to go. Mm-hmm. How old was Otis's son?
And if I had to guess, 13.
In real life?
Oh, in real life?
Yeah.
In real life, his son had to be like 20. He looked huge.
38.
He was 38 years old?
Shut up.
At the time of the movie?
The time of the movie, he was 38.
What?
My wife looked it up last night and said, see, how old is this guy? I said, I don't know, probably like, he's probably like 23, 24.
Yeah.
She showed me his Wikipedia.
38?
He's a musician. God rest his soul, he passed away.
Oh, man.
But he was 38. Why the fuck was he in the movie?
Why? As one of the kids.
As
Otis's son? Pull him up, please. Pull
I'm bringing it up right now. Brandon Jenkins, right?
Brandon Jenkins, yep.
Wow. His 38? Name
is Brandon Jenkins Jr.
That means they really went for it with the comedy. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Y'all comedians is too much, man. Y'all go too far for the comedy.
Yep.
This guy right here?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go to his...
He had a baby face.
Yeah. He looked grown as hell, though. But
yeah.
I said, okay, so he looked old as hell as a teenage son, but he didn't look no 38.
No, he doesn't
look 38. So he looks great for 38.
He looks amazing
But he looks terrible for 13.
Let's get into the rankings.
Yes.
Five Fifths, all-time classic. One Fifth, a movie that got made. Where does Welcome Home Roscoe Jenkins rank?
One fist, two fists, three fists, four fists, five fists.
Five fists.
Five fists. Yep. Easy call.
Five fists.
Five fists.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Let's five fists.
Okay.
Five fists.
I thought you were to give me a hot take. I said
no.
Yikes.
I guess the question is if we did an informal poll, right? Welcome Home Roscoe Jenkins is probably gonna get a lot of fours. And a lot of threes.
They're going to give it twos because people aren't going to do... Well, look, Life was with Eddie and Martin. So they're not going to break it down co-lead-wise. Yeah. They're going to look at what they think the best movies are with Martin in it.
Yeah.
So you're going to hear Bad Boys, After Life.
Yeah,
crazy. You know what I mean? You're going to hear Thin Love and Twin Love and Hate, and they're going to rank this extremely low.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait to be off camera to ask you this.
Yeah.
But... Well,
so. People don't even talk about what's the worst that could happen. And that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Welcome Home Roscoe Jenkins is a very strong Five Black Fist movies.
Yeah.
And better than a lot of, I'm echoing what I said earlier, better than a lot of movies that people talk about more.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So watch it with your family this holiday season.
I also pick movies by the script and who's in them.
Hmm.
And I'll get to that in a minute after this.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, this is a great film. Obviously, I want another hour to talk about it.
Man.
I got you here, man. And when I get you here, I will try to keep you here. Matter of fact, I need you to come back soon. Can you do that?
Done deal.
There's a movie I want to do with you, bro. I need to do it with you.
Absolutely.
Boss. Yes, sir. So, man, we're going to get up out of here.
Yeah.
I know we gotta go, man. But I'm your host, Big Ja, and my co-host.
Welcome home, Big Tone.
Welcome home, Big Tone. That's welcome a hell of a
name.
Tone.
That's a hell of a name.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And our special guest, Clayton Thomas.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, man. Yes, sir. This is Blackbusters, and we'll catch y'all next time, man. Be good or be good at it. We love y'all. Peace. Pew to the max.
Blackbusters.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Tone, one half of the best black movie review podcast in the world. In the world, Craig. This episode of the Blackbusters podcast is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Prime is more than just free shipping. Prime brings you closer to the things you care about today through shopping, streaming, and savings. For example, did you know that you can listen to your favorite podcasts, like ours, through Amazon Music? Yep. You can also watch your favorite movies, like the ones we review on Blackbusters, on Amazon Prime Video. Yep. But it doesn't stop there. You can use Prime to get more out of your interests. From purchasing behind-the-scenes books about your favorite movies to listening to soundtracks of your favorite films. Yup, yup, and yup. Whatever you're into, or just getting into, Prime can help you get closer to it. Visit amazon.com/Prime to sign up. From movies and music to passions and podcasts, it's on Prime.